Nå fyrer Kiwi opp grillen med billig sommer- og grillmat. Digge biffer, spare ribs, kylling og fisk, you name it. Hva med cirka 1,3 kilo First Price sommerkoteletter av svin til kun 83 per kilo? 700 gram First Price krydder av grillryb av svin til kun 104,90. Eller 600 gram Folkets Brooklyn Barbecue grillfilet av svin til bare 139. Utvalget stort, og prisene, ja, de alltid lave. Hos Kiwi.
Vi har kommet til Jernverket podcast nummer 10. Helle Stenkløv, det meg, og I 2016 traff jeg Diamond Head på Muskelrock.
So, hello, this is Brian Chatler from Diamond Head, and you're listening to...
It's not the most effective.
It works.
Okay.
Oh, I've got a t-shirt somewhere.
Nice one. Yeah.
Ooh.
Okay.
Yeah,
fine, right?
So now we're on.
Okay.
I have this radio show called Jernverket. It's actually Norway's biggest metal show, but I was still quite honored that Diamond Head asked me to do the interview.
Okay.
Your manager.
Lovely.
Probably.
That's great.
Yeah, so thanks for that. But can you just please tell the listeners, who are you and what do you do?
Who am I? I'm Brian Tatler from Diamond Head, and I play guitar in Diamond Head. Is that what you mean?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Is that it then, or
I know, but the listeners.
Okay, they don't know. Well, there you go. I'm the guitarist.
And you've been doing this for quite a while now.
Yeah, I have. I've been doing it for 40 years. I formed the band, and we've been going on and off, you know, for 40 years. We've had a couple of breaks from it, and a couple of people have come and gone. But still, you know, we're still playing these songs. Some of these songs are 35 years old and are still going down really well, as you can bear witness tonight. So it's great. It's, people still want to hear them and they still sound good. They don't sound dated. They've got something about them, you know. They were written well in the first place, I think, and they seem to be standing the test of time.
Because I heard that you actually wrote, like, hundreds of songs and riffs before you actually recorded anything.
It wasn't hundreds, but by the time the first album came out, we'd written 100 songs. Starting in 76, we just started writing straight away. We didn't bother doing covers, really. We did a few. We did maybe 3 or 4, and then we just got straight into writing, really, writing our own, and we'd just make little cassettes and... the early songs were a bit ordinary, really, but we learned the art, really, the craft, from just, thanks, Ed, from just trial and error, really, and got better and better at it. And then, you know, the old songs would get abandoned and we'd work on the new songs. And we always tested them out live. We had this thing called, you know, road testing the songs. You know, if they worked well live, they would stay. And if they didn't, we would chuck them out.
Okay, so you actually played new stuff for people, but you didn't know if you wanted to use it.
Yeah, we'd play the new songs in a live set, and we'd talk about it, and we'd say that one went well, and this one didn't. And we learned pretty quickly that fast songs worked well live, you know, and our set probably, you know, built up from there. In the early days, we had all different songs. We didn't have, you know, Am I Evil and... The Prince and things like that in the early days. I think the earliest song we do, the oldest song, is It's Electric, and that's from 1978. So we just, you know, learned as we went on, really. Trial and error.
Do you still remember any of the songs that you did not keep for the album?
Yeah, there's quite a few. We had awful titles and, you know, dirges. We could barely play, really. But, you know, nothing stopped us. We had a sort of naive confidence that we'd be all right. And, I've even got cassettes of some of the early songs that I've kept. I've kept cassettes for 40 years, if you can believe that.
Mm-hmm. Have you ever thought about giving them out?
No. I know, they're private. Very private. Yeah, I wouldn't give them out.
But you said that you didn't do cover songs. You started songwriting right away.
Yeah.
But Diamond Head is a band that many other bands has covered.
How about that? That's a coincidence, yeah? Mm-hmm. That's a nice link. It's nice that we've been covered. I mean, it's helped keep the band alive. Metallica, obviously, covering 4 Diamond Head songs is a big deal. It's helped keep... Obviously, financially, it's helped me and the other writer, Sean. But It's just helped keep the name out there. You know, we've been name checked hundreds and hundreds of times, and we've been able to, you know, play all over the world, really, thanks to the exposure that the Metallica songs have reached. I mean, the Garage Inc. album, which has four Diamond Head songs on, sold over 5 million copies. So, you know, it's just so many more than we could ever reach.
It must be quite a weird feeling that someone else playing your music did that.
It's a compliment, really. I've always found it flattering and a compliment. You know, there's some big songs out there by other bands that are cover versions, and I never think anything of it other than it's flattering. Of all the rock songs, I mean, there's thousands and thousands of rock songs out there, and to pick, you know, one of mine is fabulous. I'm just grateful.
But you also stopped playing metal for a while. Diamond Head has been through a lot of changes.
Yeah, I wouldn't say we stopped playing metal. We probably went a bit more commercial. We had a bit of pressure to write singles from our record label. So we did things like Call Me, making music, waited too long. As we've gone on, it's always been a very good live band, and we've always been very powerful. And it seems the heavier songs just work better with the crowd. So even though we've written songs that, you know, probably would have been nice to have had hits with them, we probably didn't have the machinery behind us and the radio play and the power to pay for good advertising to make them hits. So We rely on a lot of live work, really, and press.
But you say that Diamond Head has been always been a powerful live band.
Yeah.
And when you have changing of members, how do you keep it alive? Like, how do you pick members? Like this guy, he's quite new.
Like this
guy.
Singer. Well, he's a great singer. Yeah. I mean, all you've got to do is find great players. I mean, really, you know, and people that suit the band and fit in from a personality point of view as well.
That's why we picked
because it's not only musical; it's social too.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. Well, we wanted a nice guy. We wanted someone we could all get on with.
You wanted someone that could make tea.
Yeah. But you know, obviously the voice is first, and once I knew he could sing and he sounded like he had the kind of tone that I like in a singer, and he did justice to the Diamond Head back catalogue. So, you know, when Raz joined, we weren't really thinking about new material. All that came later. And I just wanted someone who sounded good singing the old stuff, really, and at first. And then Raz fitted that bill.
Because there was a new album this year.
Yeah.
It came out only a few months ago.
Yes, that's right. It's called this subtitle.
How did that go?
How did it go?
Mm-hmm.
How did we come to make it?
How did you come to make it, and what's happened? How has the public reacted to this?
Well, the press reaction has been fantastic. Some of the best of my career. Fantastic reviews we've been getting. So it's given us such a lot of confidence. And it just came about because, you know, we talk backstage and in dressing rooms like this. We discussed writing songs, and we thought, well, we should try. So I gave Raz a load of material because I keep doing stuff at home, making demos and coming up with riffs and things. And we'll try. And I gave Raz a load of stuff, and he said we should do it as a band, you know, in a rehearsal room. Not try and do it over the net or just build up on, you know, tracks from Pro Tools and things like that. So we had this brief, and in January 2015 we all got together in the Midlands in the UK, and we started on the material, and you know, and songs grew from little ideas and built up and up. And Raz would take away, we'd record the rehearsals, you know, Raz would take away recordings and work on vocals at home. Lyrics, and I don't do lyrics, you see. So, again, you know, it's you need someone who can contribute that side of the song.
But you live quite spread. I heard that Carl lives in the US.
He does. He's been living in the US since 1989, I think. And that is a problem, but he comes over. He's, you know, he's English. He was born in the Midlands by us, so it's just a case of when he does come over, he has to stop at his mum's house. So he's here now for about 6 months. He came in April, and he'll stop until October.
Oh,
ooh, the power's gone.
good dark.
So that's how it works. Everybody else lives in England. Raz lives in London, and the rest of us live in the Midlands, fairly close to each other. So it does work. Raz has to take a train ride up to, you know, if we rehearse all right.
Yeah. It's easy to travel around in England, at least. It's not that to travel around in England is easy, at least.
Yeah.
It's not that big a country.
It's an hour and a half on the train.
Med faste lave priser hos Bunnpris trenger du ikke å være lei deg, særlig ikke kjøttdeig. Et billig poeng, og her kommer mer som billig. Med Billigmiddag får du middagsprodukter til en skikkelig god pris. Hva med 400 grams kjøttdeig av storfet til 50 kroner, eller svinebillig kjøttdeig av svin til 30 kroner? Hos Bunnpris.
I thought about Sean's vocals. They're really like, especially on the first album, it sounds like he gets an orgasm for every other sentence.
He did. He had this problem.
Yeah. So
his balls were that small. I didn't think. I tested, you know,
end
balls. No balls in the end.
So how does a newer vocalist cope with this? You can't cope with that, can you?
What, orgasms? Yeah, I love orgasms.
He fakes it.
Yeah, I fake it all the time. No, it's fine. I mean, I don't know. I think I just
you have two
do
orgasms.
What I do.
You have two orgasms.
How many orgasms did you have tonight?
Vanilla cake.
Well, I almost had one because someone said they wanted to hear Sucking My Love. And I was like, yes! I get to play that. See, when we play Wizard Sleeve, maybe I'll have one.
Yes,
maybe.
Yes, we should.
I don't know. You just got to sing the songs best you can.
Yeah.
The way the fans like them. Yeah.
Sean was quite a fan of Robert Plant. And we can leave it at that.
Natural orgasms.
Yeah, puts pictures in your head.
Because
yeah.
Robert Plant was the master of the orgasm. Whole lot of love.
Yeah, actually, I can see what you mean. Mm. But, excuse me? I thought you had something.
Oh,
cool
sorry.
To say.
No, sorry.
You thought you had something to say.
Another good quote.
Yeah.
But
you had your chance.
Do you have any fun stories from the time as Diamond Head that you could share with the public, Spinal Tap stories or fun stories, crazy stories, fan stories? There's always stuff happening with bands, and especially when you've done this so long.
I know. Nothing. Let me think. I'll have to think.
Yellow.
We had some cake.
Yellow T-shirt.
That's some good.
Yellow
some
fever.
Good cake.
Yellow T-shirt.
Lots of nice cake. Remember that time we had all that chocolate?
Do you remember?
We did laugh. Loads of chocolate.
So you said Diamond Head is the only band in the world that has gone on for 40 years, but nothing has ever happened that's weird. They
no,
just have
I mean,
cake.
lots happened. We've done some amazing things. We've been to Japan, and that was pretty spectacular to...
How was that? What's different with Japan?
I don't know. It's just different. It's so different. I mean, obviously, the language and the culture and even the food. And we hadn't got a clue where we were, how to get anywhere. Tiny little hotel rooms. It was an automatic toilet, I remember, and I didn't know how to use the toilet. Even it was like a robot toilet.
When
I'd never
this?
Seen one before.
When was it?
When?
Yeah.
In 2008.
Okay.
So I couldn't even flush it.
Did you just let the poo build up?
It stank. It stank, it was horrible.
To the point you wanted to move into Ed's room.
So you just changed your hotel room instead of flushing the...
Flush the toilet.
Sorry, sir, can I have a different hotel room? I can't flush the toilet.
And like the crew have to have a production meeting as soon as you get there. And they have said you have a production meeting at 6:10 and it will last for 20 minutes. Then you will go here and you will do this and you will sign that. And, you know, they're very, very... well organised, and they liked their timetables. We were on at 6 o'clock at night, and the show finished at 8. It was such a strange thing, packed up and away at 8 o'clock at night.
Because here shows usually if there's only two or three bands in a night, they start late, like at 10.
Well, in America, sometimes we'd turn up, like we'd be driving all day for say 10 hours, and then we'd get to the venue about 9 o'clock at night. No time for soundcheck. The support band's already on, so we just wait for them to finish. We'd set up and just go, and we wouldn't get on till 11, 12 o'clock at night. And you'd just set up and do it with no soundcheck, nothing, just go.
But
and then next day you'd be up again at 9 o'clock in the morning on the road, another 10-hour drive. So. Massively long drives in America. We were warned what it was like, but until you've done it yourself and you do take 10 nights on the trot, it's quite it's brutal, as we described it. Yeah,
large country.
It's just huge. I had no idea. Raz has got all this to come in November.
Yay!
Yay! Yeah.
What's happening then?
We're touring the States in November
and Canada.
Yeah, some Canadian dates as well, and Raz. He's never done that before, so it'll be a fabulous experience for Raz. It's a bucket list. Yeah.
But I guess you have a driver so that you don't have to drive yourself.
The drummer drives, Carl.
Okay, so he has to keep awake and
he does.
Do the driving and...
He doesn't sleep. He's not human.
No, we don't know how he does it. We have to drop the Obama bomb from time to time, but...
Mm-hmm.
That's all we can rely on, really.
The Obama bomb.
What is the Obama bomb?
Oh, I don't know. It's complicated.
You set it off with a political talk, and then it goes. That keeps him awake.
Yeah, we were talking while I was here before your show. They started, or at least what was her name? Donna, the lady,
Debbie.
Debbie, yeah, she was talking about American politics.
Okay.
So yeah, it's quite interesting. It's different from where we come from, Europe.
Yeah.
Usually, or the bands are to pick the playlist for the show.
Okay. Well, the Diamond Head song I'm going to pick is "Bones" off the new album.
Mm-hmm.
And then, do you want to pick a song? Raz,
yes.
Wants to
of
pick
course.
A song?
Yes.
Go for it.
Creator and I by Monuments.
Okay.
Don't
you
know
find
it,
that one?
But I'll probably.
You
it,
like it.
If it's come out, I'll find it.
It is out, it's on Spotify.
Okay. If it's not in someone's cassette player.
No.
Yeah.
The other one.
I'll go for The Sinner by Judas Priest, or just Sinner.
Love that song.
Yeah.
Oh, is it
Rush? Don't pass these, Rush.
Come on.
I like this guy.
Ed, you like this guy?
Favorite Rush song. Tom Sawyer.
No.
Tom Sawyer.
Limelight.
Yeah, Limelight.
Have you seen Rush live?
Yeah.
Or played with them?
Yeah. No, we've not played with them, but we've seen them. I think
I've
we've
seen
all probably
times.
Seen them. You ain't, have you?
Yeah, I've seen them 28 times.
28 times.
Oh, wow.
Oh, really?
I wish I were in your shoes. I've only seen them once.
Bohemian Rhapsody.
Okay.
Achilles Last Stand.
Even though it's been played to death on Norwegian radio.
Oh, I found your smart.
I will play it, but that's probably the song that has been played the most on Norwegian radio. I'm not kidding.
Black Eyes by Porcupine Tree.
Yeah, great choice. Black as Eye.
Which one?
Black as Eye by Porcupine Tree.
Okay. Yeah.
Great choice.
I approve.
I approve.
Det var et intervju med Brian Tatler og resten av Diamond Head utført for Jernverket på Muskelrock sommeren 2016. spelleliste finner du på jernverket.com. Hvis du hører på herre den 28. september 2018, det slappfest for Jernverket podcast på Kniven bar I Oslo I kveld. Klokka 19.30 intervjuer Stedlord foran publikum, og du kan stille spørsmål underveis. Etterpå blir det konsert med Deadlord Insane og Second Son på Revolver. Neste fredag kommer det to episoder av podcasten. Den ene tilegnet Brutus som spiller på høstsabbat snart. Den andre med Deadlord, og den blir som sagt spilt inn på kniven med publikum I kveld, den 28. september. Abonner på Jernverket via yndlingspodcast-tjenesta di, eller hør på jernverket.com. Jeg heter Helle Stenkløv, og Jernverket podcast gir deg et nytt eller gammelt hardrock-intervju hver fredag. Følg Jernverket på Facebook, Instagram og jernverket.com. Kom igjen, 5 stjerner nå!